Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen, our Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, I am excited that you have joined me on today. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us today exalt his name together. Truly, God is great. And he's greatly to be praised. And it's just a blessing to see just another glorious day and to be able to come together to lift up the precious name of Jesus. I am so excited for you and all of my listeners all around the world, those that are there in the Philippines and in Guyana and South America and all of my beautiful friends that are here in the States. I just want you to know I am so excited for you. I am excited because this is a very special time, a time in which we are on the heels of being able to celebrate once again, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But most of all, we are celebrating also life that he's given to us each and every day. I am truly excited. We have a beautiful lesson on today, and our lesson is going to be the miracle of Pentecost. And so as you grab in your Bible, we're going to be looking out of the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and we're going to take a really close look at the miracle of Pentecost. This will give us a greater understanding and the relevancy of today about being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And as we learn how to take this, what we've learned, and to live victoriously through the Word of God, being empowered through biblical lessons and principles, and exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be enlightened and you're going to be extremely, extremely blessed by the Lord. The goodness of the Lord maketh us rich. The blessings of the Lord maketh us rich and add no sorrow. Absolutely no sorrow, and God's bringing no sorrow blessing to your home today. So I'm going to invite you as we get ready to open up with prayer, and then we're going to get right into the scripture. Gracious God, we thank you and humbly just come boldly unto you, thanking you for just another beautiful day. I thank you, God, for all of my listeners that are tuned in today and those that are far and near that are listening. I pray a special blessing, spiritual blessing, and an endowment, God, upon them even as they listen and partake of this lesson today. Let it bring life and sinew to the bones, and let it bring strength and healing, and let it be fresh manna from on high unto your people. And Father, we thank you. Even meet us here as we gather, God. Pour out your spirit upon all flesh, and Father, we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on and just shout hallelujah. As we begin to now look at our lesson for today, we're going to go over to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and we're going to look at verses number 1 through 8, and it reads on this line, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? wherein we were born. Now let's take a look at verses 12 through verse number 16. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all that dwelleth at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Oh, so far the scripture. Now, we're going to look today at verse number 4 closely. And it reads on this line, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The miracle that God will fill believers with his Holy Spirit was promised by the prophets and Jesus Christ. And what God did for them, he is still doing for us today and believers today. Now, let's take a look, because we're going to be looking real closely. And I pray that if you have any questions, you can let us know. You can send them via the email at Shekinah, Shekinahgt at MSN. Or you can just leave a comment there on the at my page there, and we'll try to address any of the questions that perhaps you may have. Now, in the book, we recognize that in his book, Gifts of the Spirit, introduced in England in 1934, Harold Horton set forth a beautiful description of the term miracle. He wrote, "Through carelessness of thought and causelessness in scripture examination, must miss have gathered around the really very precise word miracle. The very richness and resilience of English language has helped to increase the intensity of this mist. Miracle is a word used to denote the non-material, natural, or beyond natural or supernatural order of things. A miracle, therefore, is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accustomed order, an interruption of the system of nature as we know it." So when we think of miracle, we must think in terms of it as a supernatural intervention of an ordinary course of nature. So it has been a supernatural move. And I want you to keep that in your heart and in the back world of your mind as we're going through this particular lesson and things, because we're talking about the miracle of Pentecost. Now, in this lesson, we're going to examine one of the greatest miracles ever experienced by mankind. Now, individual receiving the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of God, which is occupied by the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This experience is both miraculous and available, for God still is giving this wonderful gift to those who will receive it. So here it is. We must recognize that whosoever will receive or even believe can receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within them. Now let's look at the promise at Pentecost. When God makes a promise, he is faithful to deliver that promise. The Lord himself stated it, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that goes out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah." Psalms 89, verses 34 and through 37. The Old Testament is repleted with references relative to the coming outpour of the Holy Ghost. For example, the Lord promised through the prophet Ezekiel, "A new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. That's Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 to 27. The Lord made these assurance of the Spirit's indwelling more than 600 years before the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. Now, let's look further. It was prophesied by Old Testament prophets. God gave his commandment written on tables of stones to his servant Moses, but he did not plan for his word to exist only in the cold, hard stone of chiseled tablets. He knew that the people were not able to keep the commandments until they were written in their hearts. And we mentioned that also really briefly at our church service on Sunday through our Christian education, that God had written it upon the heart of his people. Now let's look further at Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and 33, and I'll read it in your hearing. And it states, "Behold, the day comes, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, how would the Lord accomplish the task of writing on the heart of mankind the precepts of his word? How would fulfill his promise by pouring out his spirit upon the hearts of individuals who hunger for him? More than 800 years before the days of Pentecost, the prophet Joel powerfully declared, "And it shall come to pass, afterward I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall see dreams, and shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision. And also upon the servant and upon the handmaiden in those days I will pour out my spirit." Joel 2, verses 28 through 29. Isaiah further clarified that this promise of the coming spirit when he stated, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom," he said, "this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing that ye may also, that ye would not hear." Isaiah 28, verses 11 and verse number 12. Now, as we look further, so we examined and we looked at how it was prophesied close to 600 years by Ezekiel before the church was even came into existence. Then we picked up the Old Testament prophets of Jeremiah, as well as Joel, as well as Isaiah, was talking and importing the people towards the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that was soon to come. Now let's look a little further, and let's look at what John the Baptist promised. After 700 years before the arrival on the scene of the Jewish history, John the Baptist predicted appearance was in the blueprint of divine revelation. See Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 5. John was the voice of the one who was crying out in the wilderness of Judea, preparing the way of the Lord to appear as the Messiah. Now, in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, John the Baptist cried out to the multitude that came to hear him where he was baptizing in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of viper, who have warned you to flee from wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Matthew 3, verse 7-12. Now, John the Baptist predicted that the Holy Ghost was coming. So through John, the Spirit ultimately revealed that John's cousin, Jesus Christ, was the long-awaited Messiah, the Lamb of God. And you can see John chapter 1, verses 29-37. Further, Jesus was the one who departed and returned to believers as the Holy Ghost. Now, we looked at John for just a moment and focused in on him. Now let's look at it being promised by Jesus. Throughout the time of Christ's ministry on earth, he often promised that the coming of the Spirit, he who was the product of the conception of the Holy Ghost, Matthew 1 and 20, actually was God in bodily form, Matthew 1 and 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, 1 Timothy 3:16, and Colossians 2 and 9. For this reason, Jesus emphatically stated that he first had to depart before the Holy Ghost could come to his disciples. John chapter number 16 and verse 7. It reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." John chapter 16, verse number 7. The scriptures record Jesus preparing his disciples for the coming of the Holy Ghost on a number of other occasions as well. And you can see it over in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, and verse 26, also John chapter 15 and verse 26. Jesus reminded his followers of the coming promise of the Spirit one final time promised prior to him ascending up into heaven. And we can find that over in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Luke 24 and verse number 49. Now, let's take a look closer here at the Pentecost and the new birth. Sadly, many Claritin today have perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. They attempt to weaken and cheapen it by misusing and misapplying the truth. Fortunately, nothing can change or destroy the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 40 and 8, Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, and Matthew 24 and 35. Now let's look here. Isaiah 40 and 8 states, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." God's word is going to stand forever. Now, because of the distorted presentation of the gospel, many people in our days have ascribed to the idea of easy believism. In other words, they wrongly believe that all a person has to do is to achieve salvation, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What they fail to realize or comprehend is what is true belief required of them. If they truly believed on Christ, they will naturally embrace and obey all of his word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Belief necessitates obedient action. The salvation message always includes genuine repentance and obedience. It is impossible to preach the truth of Jesus Christ and the Pentecostal experience without the cross. Christ's sacrificial death on the cross both atoned for our sins and made possible the new birth experience. Now, Let's look further so that we can gain a greater understanding. Because the Bible said, in all thy getting, get what? Get an understanding. And I wanted just to say, too, also about the power of God and the presence of God and God's outpouring. We have been just experiencing a great outpour of the Holy Ghost at our church. We've just been seeing God just tremendously blessing the people of God and the pouring out, young people getting filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, God walking just there in our midst and being there with us. It's just been phenomenal, just been a tremendous blessing. So now let's look at the water and the Spirit. The birth of our baby requires the presence of water, blood, and spirit. Otherwise, the birth will go awry and the child will be stillborn. Jesus also revealed the essential nature of these elements to the new birth, the spiritual baptism of a person. See John 3. In the shadow of the light, a Jewish ruler made his secretive approach to Jesus with a powerful mission. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. John 3 and 2. Jesus replied to Nicodemus, a leader and a ruler of the Pharisees, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3 and 3. Now, Nicodemus revealed his amazement when he asked, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? John 3 and 4. Now let's look at what the scripture says. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. John 3, verses 5 through 7. The birth of water and of the Spirit is mandatory for salvation. A person can be saved only through the new birth as described and commanded by Jesus Christ himself. Being born again according to the scripture is absolutely essential for entering into the kingdom of God. No person is saved without it. No person has a choice with regards to his first birth, which was physical. However, every individual have a choice regarding his second birth, which is spiritual. When a person studies the dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus regarding the necessity of the new birth by the Spirit, John 3, verses 1 to 21, it is interesting that many people evaluate only one verse for the entire conversation. Now, John 3:16, although John 3:16, which is a beautiful verse, has become one of the most alone failed to define a quoted and beloved verse of the Bible. It alone failed to define what is necessary to receive redemption from sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's admiring the beauty of John 3:16, it is vital that one of not miss the exacting edge of Jesus' mandate in John 3:5. If we are to be saved, we must believe, but if we believe, we must obey the entire chapter and experience the new birth by the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke of the vital spiritual experience prior to it becoming available. John 7, verse 37 to 39 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was yet not glorified. John 7, verses 37 to 39. Now, according to the word of Jesus, when the people truly believed on him, according to the scripture, they will receive their personal Pentecost. In other words, they will receive the Holy Ghost. Following the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached his first message regarding Jesus Christ and the cross. At the conclusion of his message, the crowd eagerly questioned, "What shall we do?" Acts 2:37. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2, verses 38. Peter's declaration was probably the most concise expression in the scripture of what comprised the new birth experience, the birth of water and of the Spirit. Now, let us look further. Let's look at tongues, the evidence. There once was a time in which many people within the large Christian community quarreled over the matter of speaking with other tongues. Many continue to oppose the practice. However, today there are many independent, non-denominational, charismatic assembly, in addition to the Pentecostal, that embrace the idea of being filled with the Holy Ghost and even accept speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance as the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. Many people have come to understand the biblical truth of spiritual practice within the church. When an individual receives the Holy Ghost, he or she will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them utterance. It is not something a person has to see or something he does. It is something that the Spirit initiates upon the person initially receiving the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ first brought the new birth to about 120 Jews who were patiently awaiting in the upper room in Jerusalem. Jesus had commanded them to return to Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Father, Luke 24:49. As they were obediently awaiting the promise of God, the Holy Ghost came upon them suddenly, Acts 2:1-4. And it reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they were appeared up to them clothed in tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Acts 1:4. Now, let's further. The experience that came to the waiting believer in the upper room was the miracle of Pentecost. Further, it was not a one-time event. It was the beginning of the church. And every believer since that initial evidence has spoken with other tongues at the moment of experiencing the new birth. What a magnificent demonstration of the Holy Ghost power appeared to all the visiting Jews who have came to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. On that memorable occasion, many individuals were amazed to witness the supernatural outpouring of the Spirit of God upon believers. Seeing and hearing this miracle of Pentecost drew many to join with the early church disciples. And that very day, about 3,000 souls was added to the fleeing new church. Jesus Christ never made an issue out of speaking with other tongues. Rather, he simply told his followers to return to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. They knew nothing about the matter of speaking with other tongues other than what was written by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 28:11-12. He said that with a new tongue will I speak with them. Jesus did not make the matter of speaking in tongues an issue because it was just normal through supernatural acquaintance of the Holy Ghost experience. A person does not seek to speak with tongues. Rather, he seeks to receive the Holy Ghost. When he receives the Spirit, he will speak with other tongues as a result. When we read through the New Testament, we recognize that speaking with other tongues was when receiving the Holy Ghost is a continued phenomenon of the new birth. More biblical evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance are found throughout the New Testament. For an example, Acts 8:17-18, Acts 10:44-46, Acts 19:5-6. Acts 8 relates the story of Philip and Peter and John taking the gospel to Samaria. Many people believed in the preaching of Philip and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. However, they have not received the Holy Ghost, Acts 8, chapter 12, verse 16 through 16. When Peter and John arrived, they prayed that the believers would receive the Holy Ghost. And when they laid hands on them and prayed, they received the Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Although the scripture does not specifically state what happened when the people received the Holy Ghost, it was clearly evidenced when Simeon, the sorcerer, witnessed the Samaritan receiving the Holy Ghost. He offered money to have the power to lay his hands on people and that they would receive the Holy Ghost. Obviously, a dramatic and pronounced sign that the believer had received the Spirit accompanied his arrival. And evidently, they spoke with other tongues, as did all the other New Testament believers upon receiving the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the hands of the apostle, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Get me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through verse number 20. Now, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentile also was power, was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speaking with other tongues, and magnifying God. Acts chapter 10, verses 45 and 46. And so here, these scripture references, we are finding that we know that in the New Testament, the history book and the history of the church is the book of Acts. This is where you see the apostles actually carrying out the commission that was given unto them over in the book or the gospel. And the mandate when Jesus told them to go back to Jerusalem and tarry there, wait there until you be endued with power from on high. And so throughout the book of Acts, you see the church and the believers being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. And so speaking in tongues is the evidence. It is the evidence that an individual has been born again, born of the Spirit, receiving the Holy Ghost, the pneuma, have been the breath of God has been breathed into them. The ruah has been breathed in, the breath of God has been blown into them. And so it's key for us to know and key for us to recognize what the Scripture has said, what the Word of God. Now let's look further. So you can look at Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 20, also chapter 10, verses 45 and 46, and we'll look further. The Apostle Paul added another dimension to the subject of the individual initial evidence of speaking with other tongues upon receiving the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, Paul discovered in Ephesus certain disciples of John the Baptist, whom he asked, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." That's Acts chapter 19, verse number 2. Paul went on to explain to these honest-hearted individuals that John baptism was good and appropriate for its season, but that it had only introduced the individual to the coming new birth experience. He preached that they would need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And further, after they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and he laid hands on them, they too also received the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues and prophesied. Acts 19, verses 5 through 6. And so here we can see the relevancy, and we can see that even John the Baptist and his disciples, they were baptized unto the repentance under John, but John pointed them in the direction that there was one that was coming who he was not worthy to unlatch his shoes. He was going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost, and that was fire. And so here he was pointing and preparing the disciple that there was a more excellent way, and that being baptized in Jesus' name and also the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And so let us look further, and let's look at the relevancy for it for us today. It is fascinating and noteworthy to behold the fulfillment of the scripture for these last days as we witness the mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost worldwide. Through his word, the Lord has spoken prophetically of the outpouring of his spirit in the last day, and no person can thwart it or abort it or prevent it. His word is unfolding before our eyes as he pour out his spirit over this world. And as I said it earlier, and things in our broadcast here today, is that as never before, I have been seeing the outpour of God's spirit right in our church. We have seen and experienced the outpour and the manifestation of God's presence right there. It has been so phenomenal, and we feel so humble to have the presence of the Lord to meet us in our humble abode and things and sup with us, and just miracles are being wrought. People are being healed and delivered. People are being strengthened. The body of Christ is being edified and blessed in such a profound way. We are seeing the manifestation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ pour out his spirit among his children and among his people. And he's moving mightily in the land. And this Holy Ghost is for all people, anyone, whosoever will. Let them come. Let them receive. Let them suck. Let them eat of the table and be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look further. It said, these signs shall follow the believers. Mark 16 and verse number 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. The prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of speaking with other tongues. See Isaiah 28, 11, and 12. Further, Jesus endorsed the matter of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Mark 16 and 17. Paul also testified of often speaking with other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 18. Clearly, speaking with other tongues has a significant place in the early church, and that significance continues in the church today. Now, let's take a look further. Is that the promise is to our children. The promise of receiving the Holy Ghost was not only for the apostle, and it was not only for the early believers that gathered on the day of the Pentecost. The promise of the Spirit is to all who believe and of all generation and all nations. Acts 2, verses 38 to 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so here, he let us know that this gift is not only for us, but is for the promises unto you, unto your children, and to all that are far off. Even, he goes on to say, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Father, we ask, O God, that you call and keep calling. Keep calling, God, and calling all your people home and back their hearts back to you, God, and things. And when I say home, back to the church so that they can get filled with your precious gift of the Holy Ghost and live holy and righteous before you, God. Call them back, Father, and turn their feet back in the hither, God. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Children and young people all over the world are receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So children's crusades, youth camps and convention, many are experiencing the new birth according to the New Testament scripture. The Lord is giving his spirit to all who believe and obey his commandments. and all who will genuinely respond to him in faith and repent of their sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sin. Believers are receiving the same experience as was proclaimed by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 38. And as we said earlier, again, we have been seeing that. We've seen it at our church. We've seen our young people are getting filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. The power of God is falling. It's falling in the church. It's falling in his house. He's feeding the matter. He is moving by the power divine and blessing his people just like he prophesied that it shall be a great outpour of his spirit. Now, according to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, Nicodemus in chapter 3 of the book of John, the miracle of a new birth is an astonishing experience available to all who will believe. When any person, regardless of age, gender, repent of their sin and is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, they will be gloriously and wonderfully filled with the Holy Ghost. Further, they will speak with other tongues that the Spirit of the Lord give utterance, for this is the initial evidence of receiving the Spirit. This glorious experience is both a miracle of divine transformation and a divine injunction, for the Lord himself stated that it is mandatory for salvation for the entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, that is the conclusion to the whole matter, that is the mandatory for salvation and for the entrance in to the kingdom of God. Wow. The miracle of Pentecost, of being born of the water and of the Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. It was prophesied before even Jesus, the Messiah, came upon the earth. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 27, he stated that a new heart also I will give, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit, here it is, within you and cause you to walk in my statute and make you keep my judgment and do them. So he promises some 600 years before the birth of the church. Then also the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 33, speaks of it. He states, "Behold, the day came, said the Lord, that I will put my new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part and write it in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." And then we looked at the other prophet as well, Joel. And Joel said, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision, and also upon the servant, upon the handmaiden. In those days I will pour out my spirit, said the Lord." That was Joel 3, chapter 2, verses 28 to 29. Then Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12 state, "Well, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear." And so it was prophesied and it was told, and then even John the Baptist came on the scene and also shared it, as well as Jesus himself saying that it would. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you that the truth is, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then he said over in Luke 24 and 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so, yes, the new birth experience is mandatory for you to see the kingdom of God. And it's vital that, yes, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance is relevant. It is part of the new birth experience. I pray, and this is all our lesson for today, I pray that this has opened up your understanding. And I'm going to give you some more scripture reference. Go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse and chapter number 2 and read those particular chapters, as well as I stated also Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 27, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and 33, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29, Isaiah 28, verses 11 to 12, and begin to read those scriptures, also John 16 and 7, Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, then also Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, 55, verses 10 through 11, Matthew 24 and 35, and begin to read. Now, what I want to invite you to consider also, John chapter number 3, is very key. What I want to invite you to do, go and begin to study the scripture. I want to invite you and to encourage you to consider when you're reading the scripture is to reading them by inviting God and just say, Lord, give me understanding. God, open up my understanding so that I can know your truth and what you are requiring of me, as opposed to coming to the scripture with already preconceived notions. If you go faith-believing, heart open unto God and allowing God to give you and to speak to your heart, he will give you the understanding. And that's how we go to God. God, speak to my heart through your word. Lord, open up my understanding. Lord, give me enlightenment as to what you are saying through your scripture and your word. And as you invite the Holy Spirit and invite God to open up your understanding, that's what will take place, an understanding, an opening of the understanding as you're reading the scripture. But if you go with a different mindset, well, I don't understand what I'm reading, you know, I'm trying to understand and I can't understand what I'm reading, well, that will put up a blockage. But if you go with God, speak to me, feed me through your word, give me understanding, and that's giving God permission to minister to you through his word. I pray that this lesson was helpful, and I want to encourage you to go back even to the book of Acts, chapter 2, Acts chapter 18, verses 17 and 18, Acts chapter 10, verses 44 and 46, Acts chapter number 19, and begin to read when these individuals were actually filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost and seeing the relevancy of that even today in the lives of God's people. Again, thank you so much for being with me on today. We're going to leave early on today because this is all of our lesson for today, but I pray that this has opened up to your understanding and given you a greater enlightenment as to the miracle of the Pentecost and being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you, dear God, for this lesson on today. We thank you, dear God, for opening up the understanding of those that are listening and those that shall listen to this lesson, God. I pray, oh God, revelation. I pray, oh God, Lord, illumination, God. I pray, oh God, Lord, constellation, that you will move upon their hearts and give them understanding about what your word said and about what you are requiring of us as children of God. I pray, oh God, that you enlighten and open up the understanding. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor, recognizing, God, that you are that righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, and you hold all power in your hand. Now, Father, enlighten and grant understanding. And, Father, we'll give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Truly, I thank God for you. I thank God for you being with me on today. And I thank God for all of my radio listeners and my faithful listeners that have been faithfully joining the session. I want to give a special call out to Mother Ruth Fisher, a member of our church. And thank God for your faithfulness and what God is doing in and through your life. And God is just doing some great things for Mother Ruth. And we just pray, God, and we thank God for her faithfulness. We pray, God, for your faithfulness, too, and all that God is doing in and through your life and going to do, being faithfully listening to these particular lessons. I know it's enriching your life and empowering you and granting you a greater understanding. Go back again and read again. Go back and look again and go back. But this time, go back with a new set of lens and begin to say, God, open up my eyes. I want to see you. Open up my understanding that I may understand what your word is saying. There's a song that we sing in our church that I love and things is that open my eyes, Lord, open my eyes because I want to see you. And so as we ask in God and when we read the scripture, Lord, open up my spiritual eyes so I can see, open up my understanding so I can understand. And I pray like Paul did that your inward man will be enlightened and that you will be strengthened. May you be blessed, child of God. Continue on in the things of God. Continue to witness, continue to be faithful, continue to be at church in your Bible study, your worship service, continue, because God said for us to forsake not the assembly together, even more so, even as we see the day approaching. So it is our duty as children of God to be found in the house of God, because God will meet us there. As I said, we have been experiencing a phenomenal move of God in our church. And I tell you, I'm saying, God, we want to hold on to this. We don't want to let it go. We want to hold fast to that which you're doing in and through the life of his people. So be blessed as we get ready to leave the airway today. Remember, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask and you shall find. We shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. And if you thrown in that towel because you got tired in the fight, I'm going to tell you, go back and get that towel. If you thrown up your hands, I want to encourage you to get up, go back down on your knees, and cry out to God. He's there to help you and work it out on your behalf. There's no problem too hard. There's no river too wide that God cannot work it out on your behalf. Just trust him and never doubt he's going to work it out. God bless you. May the Lord God bless you until we meet again. May the Lord continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore. God bless you. Bye-bye.